Ever find yourself wondering just how your phone seems to understand you when you talk to it? Or how online translators can switch languages almost instantly? Well, today, on The Deep Dive, we're going to take a plunge into the world of natural language processing, or, as it's more commonly known, NLP. We're going to explore how computers are learning to understand and use human language, which is behind a lot of the tech we encounter every single day.
Exactly. And for this deep dive, we're going to be drawing on materials from a course on applied artificial intelligence. Our goal is to really pull out those key milestones in NLP history and theory, those fundamental concepts that underpin it, and especially get a grasp on the huge potential of this field. By the end of this, we want you to walk away with a clear, engaging, and maybe even surprising sense of what NLP really is and why it's transforming our world.
So to kick things off, let's lay some groundwork. When we talk about NLP, we're talking about a branch within a much bigger thing, artificial intelligence. How do we even define AI?
Think of it like this. Artificial intelligence is any method that allows a machine to mimic those behaviors that we associate with human intelligence, like playing a game of chess or recognizing a voice. That all falls under the umbrella of AI.
Okay, and within that massive AI umbrella, we have something called machine learning. What makes that different?
The key here is that instead of explicitly programming the computer for every task with machine learning, we give it data and we train it to learn from that data and improve its performance through experience. It's a little like teaching a child. You don't tell them exactly what to do in every situation, but you give them examples and let them learn for themselves.
That makes sense. And then there's deep learning, which we hear a lot about these days. Where does that fit in?
Deep learning is a specialization within machine learning that uses these deep neural networks, hence deep, right?
Yeah.
With many, many layers. It's inspired, like very loosely, by how our brains work. And these deep networks have been crazy effective for learning complex patterns in massive amounts of data.
And then finally, we get to the heart of our topic today, natural language processing, NLP. So how do we specifically define that within this whole AI landscape?
NLP is all about enabling computers to understand and process human language directly.
Absolutely. Now, within deep learning, generative models are also mentioned. Just so we're clear, what are we talking about when we hear that term?
Generative models are a type of deep learning model that not only learns to recognize patterns in data, but can also generate new data that resembles the data it was trained on. And they do this in a probabilistic way, so they learn the underlying distribution of the data and then create new instances based on those probabilities. This is going to be key for understanding how systems like ChatGPT or DALL-E work, which we'll get to later.
Perfect. So with that foundation in place, maybe we can take a little trip down memory lane and see how AI, and particularly NLP, has evolved over time. What are some of those milestones that really marked a turning point?
Well, there have been a few crucial moments. One of the early ones that really resonated was when IBM's Deep Blue computer beat world chess champion Garry Kasparov back in 1996 and 1997. And while it wasn't an NLP system, it really showed the world the potential of AI to outperform human intelligence in these complex tasks of strategy and calculation. It made us start to see the possibilities in a whole new light.
Yeah, that was more brute computational force and finely tuned algorithms. But then in 2011, along came IBM's Watson, winning Jeopardy. Now, that was a huge milestone for NLP, wasn't it?
Definitely. Watson was the first NLP-based AI system to actually compete and win against humans in a game that required understanding natural language, interpreting questions with ambiguities, and finding the right answers. What was revolutionary about Watson wasn't just understanding the questions, but its ability to synthesize information from huge amounts of unstructured data and probabilistically determine the most likely answer, a significant jump from those rule-based systems you might remember.
Absolutely. And then we had Google DeepMind's AlphaGo in 2015 and 2017, defeating world Go champions. Again, not purely NLP, but what did that milestone teach us about the progress of AI more broadly?
AlphaGo, and later AlphaZero, demonstrated these really advanced learning and strategy capabilities. It learned to play Go, a game with far more possible moves than chess, at an elite level with almost no human intervention, really learning through experience. This influenced our perception of what AI could achieve in tasks where intuition and complex strategy play a major role.
And then we get to what our source material calls media events. OpenAI's DALL-E in 2021 and ChatGPT in 2022. These have really captured the public imagination.
Oh, without a doubt. DALL-E blew our minds by demonstrating the ability to generate these super detailed images from text descriptions, like impressively merging language with vision. And ChatGPT, with its ability to generate text that sounds unbelievably human, well, it reached 1 million users in just 5 days. I mean, that's really something. Both of these milestones have led to a wave of interest and investment in AI research and development from companies, governments, and academic institutions like we've never seen before.
It's fascinating how these advancements, especially in NLP, have become so visible to everyone. Now, within AI, how does NLP relate to other areas, and what specific capabilities does it encompass?
Within AI, NLP draws on several types of machine learning, like supervised learning, unsupervised learning, reinforcement learning, and really importantly, deep learning. NLP itself covers several key areas. We talked about machine translation earlier. There's also extracting relevant information from text, question answering systems like we saw with Watson, and text generation, as exemplified by ChatGPT.
And it doesn't operate in isolation, right? There are strong links to other fields of AI as well.
That's right. NLP is closely related to computer vision, which is all about enabling machines to actually see and interpret images and videos. And it's also tightly connected with audio processing, which includes converting speech to text, speech recognition, and text-to-speech speech synthesis. All of these areas complement each other, and they're often used together in real-world applications that you probably use every day.
Speaking of those real-world applications, the why of NLP really becomes clear when we look at where it's actually being used. Could you give us some concrete examples of how NLP is impacting our lives?
Sure. I mean, the possibilities are huge and becoming more and more present. We use NLP to summarize long texts, like if you've got a massive book to get through, to automatically categorize news articles based on their topic so you can see what you're interested in, to identify emails that could be harmful, like spam or phishing attempts, to automatically tag photos you upload to social media, which makes searching so much easier, to translate languages on the fly when you're traveling or reading content in another language, to interact with chatbots that can help us with customer service instantly, and even to analyze what people are saying on social media and understand their opinions about a product or an event.
Some of those examples are so everyday, almost invisible. But you mentioned one early and rather curious application of linguistic analysis by the FBI.
Ah, yes. The Anna Bomber case in the U.S. is a very interesting example of how the FBI started using linguistic analysis techniques to try to identify and profile a serial bomber based on the way he wrote his manifestos and letters. The idea was that the more extensive his writings, the greater the chance of finding patterns and unique linguistic features that could be associated with the author and maybe help track him down. It illustrates how our language can be like a fingerprint, revealing something about who we are.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. It's really fascinating how analyzing language can have such serious implications. Now, to get a better grasp of the breadth of NLP, maybe we can look at how some of the big tech companies that are investing so heavily in this field define it.
It's helpful to look at the definitions from Google, Amazon, IBM, Microsoft, and Oracle. While each one phrases it a little differently, the common thread is really the idea of enabling computers to understand and process human language intelligently. In essence, they're all looking to facilitate communication between humans and machines through our natural language.
And NLP didn't just spring up out of nowhere, of course. It's a field that draws on many different disciplines. What are some of those fundamental areas of knowledge that shape NLP?
NLP draws heavily on linguistics, which is the science of studying human language. It relies especially on computational linguistics, which develops models, both rule-based and statistical, to help computers understand the meaning of language. Grammar, within linguistics, gives us the rules for how we form meaningful phrases and sentences.
And computer science is obviously crucial, with all the machine learning and deep learning techniques we've been talking about.
For sure. Computer science gives us the algorithmic tools and models we need to process those vast amounts of linguistic data and build intelligent systems that can learn from it. And electrical engineering also has a role to play, particularly in the area of speech recognition, where you need to process audio signals.
And you mentioned psychology. How does understanding the human mind come into play in the development of NLP?
Psychology, through what's known as computational psycholinguistics or the computational theory of mind, seeks to understand those internal mental processes that we as humans use to understand language and to think. The idea is to try to model those processes so that machines can simulate a similar understanding of language and, ultimately, human thought.
So it's not just about analyzing individual words, but understanding how those words are formed, how they're structured into phrases, and what meaning they convey together.
Exactly. In NLP, we analyze language at different levels. We have morphology, which is all about how words are formed, identifying the roots and the affixes. Like, the prefix tele that we find in words like television or telephone. Then there's syntax, which focuses on how words combine to form grammatically correct sentences, looking at the subject-verb predicate structure and the relationships between different parts of a sentence. Then semantics is about extracting the meaning of those whole phrases. And the lexicon refers to that dictionary of valid words or tokens, including their meaning, symbols, and punctuation. One basic way to build this dictionary is through the bag of words approach, where you simply count the frequency of each word in a text.
So that lays the groundwork for machines to start understanding, in a sense.
Yeah.
But behind those layers of linguistic analysis, there are also some very important mathematical and logical foundations that underpin NLP.
Without a doubt. Figures like Andrei Markov laid the groundwork with his probabilistic models, which are key for predicting sequences, like words in a sentence. David Hilbert made huge contributions to mathematical logic, which is essential for automated reasoning. Kurt Gödel explored those theoretical limits of computation, which helps us understand what machines can and cannot do. And of course, Alan Turing, with his concept of artificial intelligence and that famous Turing test, proposed a way to evaluate if a machine could exhibit conversational intelligence indistinguishable from that of a human. In the Turing test, a human evaluator interacts through text with two hidden entities, a machine and a real human, and tries to figure out which is the machine based on their responses.
It's a fascinating thought experiment that's still very relevant in discussions about AI today. And then we have these other pioneers who contributed from information theory and those early neural network models, really setting the stage for the advancements we see today.
Claude Shannon, with his information theory and the concept of entropy, gave us the fundamental tools to quantify and understand the information contained in language. Walter Tits and Warren McCulloch created those very early models of artificial neurons, which inspired the neural networks we use now in deep learning. Stephen Kleen developed the theory of finite automata and regular expressions, which are crucial for recognizing patterns in language. And Noam Chomsky, with his formal language theory and linguistics, influenced those early stages of NLP with the idea that there's this deep universal grammatical structure to language. Initially, NLP focused quite a bit on Chomsky's theory, trying to formalize the rules of language, in contrast to the more data-driven approach that would later take hold with artificial intelligence.
It's really interesting to see how two different perspectives, one more rule-based and one more data-driven, spurred the beginning of this field. And then we arrive at the formal birth of AI as a discipline with John McCarthy.
John McCarthy is widely credited with coining the term artificial intelligence in 1955 in his proposal for that historic Dartmouth conference in 1956. At that seminal conference, they discussed seven original aspects of AI, and one of them was precisely the possibility of programming a computer to be able to use natural language. From the very beginning, language was seen as a core feature of artificial intelligence.
So, right from the get-go, the ability to understand and use human language was considered a fundamental component of AI. And shortly after that conference, a really important milestone for data-driven NLP was the creation of the Brown Corpus.
Exactly. The Brown Corpus, created in the early 1960s by researchers at Brown University, was the first large-scale corpus of language that could be read by a computer. It consisted of 1 million words drawn from a variety of American English written texts published in 1961, covering 500 different texts and categorized by genre. This corpus was so fundamental because it gave researchers a huge amount of real-world linguistic data to work with so they could develop and test NLP approaches based on actual evidence of language and use.
A very valuable resource that really pushed the research forward. You also mentioned Project DOC in 1967. What was the importance of that project?
Project DOC was an early effort to create a computational dictionary specifically for phonological research, which shows the increasing interest in applying computational tools to the study of language from different angles, not just semantic or syntactic, but also sound-based. And in general, throughout the 1960s and 70s, we saw this significant increase in research and development of NLP techniques in various areas, though advances were still quite limited compared to what we see today.
And out of those early efforts and growing research, we got those first NLP systems that could actually interact with humans in some way, like ELIZA and SHRDLU.
Joseph Weizenbaum created ELIZA at MIT between 1964 and 1966. This program used these very simple pattern recognition and keyword substitution techniques to simulate a conversation with a user, creating what became known as the ELIZA effect, the surprising tendency of users to attribute understanding and even emotions to the machine. And then on the other hand, you had SHRDLU, developed by Terry Winograd between 1968 and 1970, which was a much more sophisticated system for its time. It could interact with a user in a simple virtual world of blocks, understanding and carrying out commands in natural language, like pick up the red block. These early systems, though they were based on predefined logical rules, really demonstrated that it was possible for machines to process text and take actions based on it.
They were limited systems, of course, but they definitely set an important precedent and showed us the way forward. And then there was this fundamental shift in the 1980s and 90s towards data-driven approaches and probability. What drove that shift?
Yeah, during the 1980s and 1990s, there was this clear transition in the field of NLP towards using models based on large amounts of linguistic data and applying probability and statistics to understand language. This was driven mostly by the significant increase in the availability of computational resources, both in terms of memory to store those massive text corpora and processing speed to actually analyze the data. Also, the rise of mobile phones, video games, and crucially, the emergence of the World Wide Web had a huge influence. They generated an explosion of available textual data and created exciting new applications for NLP, like those early search engines. This era saw the rise of figures like Geoffrey Hinton, Jan LeCun, and Yoshua Bengio, who laid the groundwork for modern deep learning. We also saw the development of those first search engines like RankDex and Larry Page and Sergey Brin's PageRank algorithm, which were already using large-scale text analysis.
And this shift towards data and probability set the stage for the deep learning revolution that we've been experiencing from the 2000s to the present day, right?
Absolutely. The 2018 Turing Award, awarded to Hinton, LeCun, and Bengio for their fundamental contributions to deep learning, recognized the huge impact that this area has had on artificial intelligence and, of course, on NLP. During this period, we've seen the development and application of key techniques like the backpropagation algorithm, which interestingly is from 1986 but gained a lot of traction later, convolutional neural networks, CNNs in the 90s, the combination of CNNs with the power of graphics processing units or GPUs around 2012, the creation of those high-dimensional word representations known as word embeddings in the 2000s, generative adversarial networks or JANs in 2010, regularization techniques like dropout in 2014, encoder-decoder architectures also in 2014, and the crucial concept of attention in 2016.
Wow, the sheer number of advancements in a relatively short period is really impressive. And that key enabler was the availability of these massive amounts of data to train those increasingly complex models, wasn't it?
Definitely. The size of the data sets available to train these models grew exponentially from small sets like the IRIS dataset to massive databases like MNIST and ImageNet, with millions of examples. There was also a significant increase in the availability of these large shared corpora of text and speech, including information about their syntactic structure, like the tree bank. And alongside this, there were substantial improvements in those learning models themselves and in the statistical methods being used. This all fueled these amazing advances in applications like machine translation and chatbots, which started to become a lot more effective and useful around the 2000s. And the concept of big data emerged, characterized by its volume, velocity, variety, and veracity, which is really central to modern NLP. Techniques like topic modeling became important tools for analyzing those huge collections of text. And then came these deep learning-specific milestones that made a huge difference, like the widespread adoption of GPUs to speed up the training of CNNs around 2012 with the AlexNet model, Google's introduction of BERT in 2018, those sequence-to-sequence models in 2014 with the attention mechanisms that allowed them to focus on relevant parts of the text in 2016, and the ongoing advances in recurrent neural networks, RNNs, LSTMs, and speech recognition. The introduction of the attention mechanism and the transformer architecture in 2017 were key innovations that took those language models to new heights.
And all of this leads us directly to those modern NLP applications we see today, including these powerful generative models that have caused such a stir in recent years.
That's right. Technologies like Siri, Amazon Alexa, and the amazing advances of Google DeepMind, like AlphaGo we mentioned before, the not purely NLP, it shows the power of advanced AI, are examples of these sophisticated systems that rely on NLP and other areas of artificial intelligence. But the real explosion recently has been with generative models, particularly those large language models or LLMs like ChatGPT and DALL-E, which have demonstrated this amazing ability to generate text and images that are coherent, creative, and sometimes even indistinguishable from human creation. And we're seeing the integration of these models into apps that we use every day, like the Bing search engine and Microsoft's Office Suite Word, PowerPoint, Outlook, which illustrates that huge potential they have to transform how we interact with technology. Imagine that in the near future, while writing an email or a document, an AI could suggest more accurate ways to express yourself, or even help you write entire sections. It's a radical change in how we work and communicate.
It's a really dynamic landscape with seemingly limitless potential. To recap everything we've explored today, how would we define NLP at this point in history, considering how far it's come?
Essentially, we can say that NLP is the field within computer science, artificial intelligence, and computational linguistics dedicated to enabling computers to understand and process human language intelligently. Its core goal is to create applications that facilitate that natural interaction between people and machines using the language we all speak every day. And the main areas of NLP include those question and answering systems that can understand our queries and give us relevant info, automatic summarization of long texts so we can quickly grasp the key information, machine translation, which breaks down language barriers, speech recognition so we can talk to our devices, and document classification, which organizes vast amounts of textual information, among many other applications.
We've come a long way from those theoretical foundations and early experiments that seemed almost like magic to this current explosion of incredibly powerful language models. The speed of development in recent years has been truly astonishing, and the impact on our daily lives is becoming more and more evident.
Without a doubt, I think some of the aha moments from this deep dive include understanding that deeply interdisciplinary nature of NLP, that surprising early application of linguistic analysis in the Unabomber investigation, and the incredible acceleration of advancements driven by deep learning and the availability of those massive data sets.
And to leave you with a thought to ponder, considering this rapid progress in the field of NLP and generative models, what do you think are the most significant implications, both positive and challenging, that we, as a society, need to consider as these technologies become further integrated into our lives? What new questions or areas of exploration has this history of NLP sparked for you? We encourage you to keep thinking about that. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.